up and round we go. First it's fast and then we're slow. Could you connect with my intellect? I won't take you as you are. Please don't take me as I am. Find your only life bizarre.
Hello and welcome back to Super Future Friends, your guide to the Legion of Superheroes. We summarize really super old issues for you.
It's not really a summarization because it actually takes probably longer for us to edit than it does for you to actually read them.
But it's hard to actually find these issues.
Sure.
Unless you download them or buy really expensive archive editions like Vivi does and cry.
Yeah, that's how we validate this, at least.
Yes. We're saving you money, at least. At the very least. We're not saving you time, but we'll save you money.
And we're entertainment.
This issue is Action Comics 276 in May 1961. This is more of a Supergirl and Legion of Superheroes story. And this issue has the first appearance of several Legionnaires. Most importantly,
the only important one, actually.
The only important Legionnaire ever, Brainiac 5.
Ah, yeah.
Also the cutest and most amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the smartest, by far.
Because they're all retarded.
Yeah,
so I don't know if he really gets any awards for being the smartest of the group of retards.
Definitely. Okay, so we have a splash page, and it's three Legionnaire girls flying at Supergirl saying, "Hi, Supergirl. We're your three Supergirl friends." And Supergirl's like, "Oh my god, three Supergirl friends?" Even on the splash page, she's kind of freaked out that somebody might know her secret identity. She's not really worried about her secret identity getting out. She's worried about what Superman will think, that she's somehow let her secret identity out.
So I think he beats her, is actually where that's going.
Supergirl friends. Oh, wait. On this page, you see the first appearance of two Legionnaires that are new, and...
Oh, but we don't know who they are yet. Don't ruin it.
Oh, that's true. Okay, but they're girls.
Two girls.
Awesome girls.
Two girls with a familiar Saturn girl.
So, not familiar enough, apparently. As you'll soon see. So, at Midvale Orphanage, where Superman keeps his sad cousin, Linda Lee, who is Supergirl, her and her orphan friends are watching TV in the lounge, the orphan lounge. And
they have a really big TV, by the way, for orphans, for that time.
Actually, yeah.
That's a large TV.
It's a really nice orphanage.
I had a smaller TV than that growing up.
And I'm at your orphanage?
Old. At my orphanage. at my not orphanage, in the not 60s, I had a smaller TV than that.
Wow. So this is a pretty swank orphanage in the future. Maybe she built it for him. Who knows?
Maybe. Clark built it with that robot.
Yeah, but he won't build her a home.
Or love.
He can't build her love. So she and her little, like, friends from the orphanage are chilling and watching some guy named...
Actually, it's kind of more like they're ignoring her violently and they're talking to each other.
Oh, good point.
Her two little... These two little girls are having a nice conversation about how dreamy the guy on the television is.
And she's looking on.
She's, like, not in the conversation.
She's just staring at them in the background.
She's silently wishing that she had friends.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. Her little friends are, you know, excited about the romantic guy, and she's got, like, a really sad, worried look on her face, and she's, like, thinking about how much she wishes she could have a girlfriend. She doesn't have any girlfriends to talk to because she has to keep her identity secret or her cousin will beat her.
Yes. Oh, one thing about the art in this is that Jim Mooney did the art in this, and it was written by Mort Weisinger, which I forgot to say at the beginning. But our friend Tom told us that back in the day, they'd do the art and then have somebody who does romantic girl comic or girl books go through and make the girls prettier, which makes sense. Because the girls are pretty cute in this.
Yeah, this one, they're especially cute.
Yeah, very
cute.
It's
mostly girls in this issue, and they're all really cute.
Yeah.
So thanks, Tom.
Linda Lee is walking around crying about how she doesn't have any girlfriends, and she gets this mental message. She's hearing a voice in her head. The voice in her head tells her to meet her down at the Cranston Creek, and that she does in fact have a girlfriend. So she's wondering who this voice can possibly be from. Now,
you know, we haven't ever talked about this, but I guess there's an issue of Supergirl comic somewhere where she befriends a little mermaid named Lori. And Lori, the mermaid, is a telepath, so she has a girlfriend.
She's a mermaid.
She's a mermaid. Maybe she doesn't count as a person to her.
She has fish.
I guess.
She wants to eat her.
Yeah. So she has a friend who's a mermaid who is a telepath. All right, okay. So she's like, I'm pretty sure that's totally not my mermaid telepath friend. I don't know who it could be. I
told her to meet her down at the creek. Maybe it is her mermaid friend.
She doesn't sound like her.
Okay.
Okay, now think, everyone stop, pause for a moment, think about this. She's met Saturn Girl before. She has no idea who this telepath could be. Just keep that in mind. I'm not trying to ruin anything for you.
It might be Saturn Girl that she meets.
So she runs off to her log robot friend and switches places with her log robot self.
She goes down this creek. This also might be, like, a space rapist, but she doesn't care. It's like, she's easily lured.
She follows voices. She's Supergirl. She can take care of herself.
That's true. Good point. I guess so, I wouldn't be worried about rapists either.
Yeah.
All right. So, a girl in a mask is at this creek.
I just, like, for a moment, she doubts herself. She gets to the creek, and there's nobody there. And she's like,
am I just hearing
maybe
voices?
Maybe I am crazy.
This is the one time where she thinks she's crazy, when she's not being crazy.
Yeah.
So, there's a girl in a iron, well, not an iron mask, but a lead mask. It's actually a lead mask.
It's actually horrifying. Yeah. I think if anyone came up to me in this mask, I probably would just start screaming.
Yeah.
She's a little surprised, but not as surprised as should be. Or actually more surprised than necessary, considering this person in the mask is blonde. She's wearing an all pink outfit with white accents and has Saturn Girl's emblem on her chest.
It's obviously Saturn Girl. Supergirl says that she hasn't the slightest idea who she is, and she says, please tell me. She's like, no. First turn around and look behind you. And then there's another girl, and she's transparent.
Oh, we forgot. I love it because they're shouting at her, I'm your Supergirlfriend. And the second one shows up, and she's her Supergirlfriend, too.
She says, I'm your second Supergirlfriend. Oh, God, this just gets better. And
she looks like a ghost is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, she's, like, transparent. Like, Phantom Girl, you'll see her later, she is able to make herself intangible. But in this, she just seems to be intangible all the time. So she says, turn around for another surprise. And then there's another girl, and she's dressed in purple and orange. And these girls are all wearing little jetpacks to fly around. So another girl shows up, and they're all wearing jetpacks, and she has a jetpack. And this is actually Triplicate Girl, and she splits into three, and Supergirl doesn't scream enough.
She is still freaked out that these strangers, these unknown people, know her identity.
Yeah.
They're calling her Linda Lee.
She's not afraid of the fact that one's, like, a fucking ghost, and the other one's, like, dividing herself into other hers and cloning herself on sight. Finally, Saturn Girl takes off her mask.
In Supergirl's defense, she's a little slow, but she starts to get it.
That's true.
Right before she takes off the mask, she's like, wait, I've got it. And then she has her, alright, I know a telepath who appears out of nowhere to give me a hard time, like, all the time.
Oh,
alright, this is Saturn Girl, and she's a member of the Legion of Superheroes, 30th Century, and she's highly skilled at super thought casting.
The way that the girls explain that why they have superpowers is that their parents come from other planets. You know, in the future, you'll see, like, better explanations. Like, horrible accidents happen to these children, and
though they still keep a lot with the things from other planets just have powers thing.
Yes, that's true. So, it's okay to be super girlfriends with these girls because Superboy already knows them and they know Superboy's identity. And so,
maybe he
won't beat her this time.
Yeah. I like that she says that the Legion of Superheroes monitors both the past and the future on their time scanner machine, but, like, I know we've seen them be stalkers and do this before, but why do they do that?
You see, they live in a utopian world where nothing's really happening except for, it seems, natural disasters.
And the things that they cause.
See, actually, like, so far we've only seen them handling, like, natural disasters and not really criminals. They don't really have criminals yet. Maybe that'll change.
Maybe
Lex Luthor will contact the Legion of Supervillains. That's foreshadowing. My style.
Saturn Girl explains, like, the reason that they're there is because, not just to make her cry, to invite her to join the club again. Because
she totally
failed the last time. And then Supergirl goes into the reminding us, in case we forgot, about the last traumatizing experience with the Legion, when they showed up and invited her to join the club and try out. And she dug her amazing tunnel, because that's all super people's answers, dig a hole. Yes. She dug her amazing hole, and was really impressive and good enough to get her in, but she crossed paths with some red kryptonite and aged while doing it, and the Legion are assholes, and we're like, oh, sorry, you aged, and now you're over 18, so you can't be in the club, so
Oh, God. Go
home alone.
She's like, fortunately, I returned to my normal age as soon as I came back to my own time era. But either way, she gets another chance.
Yeah, so they all are like, come on, get into our awesome bubble, and let's all go to the future.
And they take her to Metropolis. Futuristic Metropolis, not futuristic Smallville, which also sucks in the future.
And utterly fabulous, it's Metropolis.
Utterly fabulous. She's really happy to see Kaz and Lightning Lad again. And he introduces her to the other three other people that are trying out this time.
Oh, so the first one's Shrinking Violet.
She's super cute.
Shrinking. I love Shrinking Violet, so I'm glad her first appearance. She's like, I mean, she's only in this one panel, I think, but she's adorable. She's just dressed really cute, and she has tiny, cute, puffy hair. She's adorable. Next to her is the thing that I actually hate the most in all of Legiondom.
No, you don't hate him the most.
Don't I hate him the most? Who do I hate more?
Cry Kid.
No, I hate Bouncing Boy.
Oh, really?
This is Bouncing Boy, with his super bouncing abilities. We actually just refer to him as Fatty. Because I hate him.
She hates fat people.
I hate all fat people. No. I just hate this fat guy. Nothing against fat people in the world.
I personally hate that in the future we still haven't conquered obesity. I also hate how Bouncing Boy got his power.
They don't explain it in this one, do they?
No, okay, but it infuriates me.
Yeah, later we'll be bitching about that later.
Sun Boy, who has super radiance, I don't really understand his power. They're not phrasing it like he has heat powers. But even, like, later on, he only seems to have the power to be a source of light.
Shiny?
Shiny boy.
Shiny lad.
So, but he has the power of super radiance. Maybe one day he'll stop sucking. But who cares about these bitches? Who cares?
Well, I care about Shrinking Violet, but she's only in this one panel.
We don't care about her until she's actually a lesbian.
What I really care about is this green hand in the panel at the very corner. You see that?
He's a brown hand in the original.
Oh, okay, well.
That's a black character. It's snuck in there.
There's some black guy standing over there. But in the recoloring, they realized because of the bright purple-pink jumpsuit involved that this was supposed to be a green hand. And this is the first sign of Brainiac 5.
The best Legionnaire ever made.
Ever made and ever to be made.
Supergirl sees this adorable boy.
Yeah, I like that they describe him as handsome.
Yes, that's great.
He's handsome.
Handsome green-skinned youth approaches the club table, and she's like, I've never met him before, but I have a super memory. I have a photographic memory, but he seems really familiar.
I mean, she has a photographic memory and she just couldn't recognize Saturn Girl.
Maybe, like, people just told her she had a photographic memory because she's fucking retarded.
Yeah.
Okay. So, she thinks Brainiac 5 looks familiar. And
now, keep in mind, this is just some, like, little boy. He's green, blonde hair, bright purplish, pinkish jumpsuit, yellow belt. He's adorable. He just
looks like a boy with green skin, that's it.
Yeah, he looks like all the other, like, cute face boys in this comic, except he happens to be green.
Yeah, that's because they can't actually draw different face boys.
Shh, they're trying. I think he's especially cute, actually.
He is especially cute.
I think for some reason they drew him cuter than all the other boys.
The love interest, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
So, she's thinking, he looks familiar, and then he puts a placard down in front of himself at the table, and it says Brainiac 5. And she's like, oh, now I know who he is. Now that I have this giant fucking clue in front of me. Now, if you don't know, there's this bad guy in the Superman universe named Brainiac.
If you don't know who he is, go shoot yourself.
Kristen is a big fan of Brainiac.
Indeed, he is. Brainiac 1. The only thing that matters. And Brainiac 5, I'm sorry. Full Brainiacs. All Brainiacs, actually. I love them all.
Brainiac is a crazy, crazy bastard. And
yeah, he's like the bad guy.
He's super scary.
Yeah, I love him.
And
She's
like, oh, now I recognize him. Now I know who he resembles, but he doesn't really look like...
Yeah, you see a little, like, thought bubble of her remembering Brainiac 1 and with, like, cute face, adorable Brainiac 5 right there. They don't look anything alike.
Nothing alike,
except
actually.
They're both green, and they both have a fondness for this pinky purple fire.
I think she's a fucking racist.
She hates green people.
All green people look the same to her. What Cutie Face says is, I'm Brainiac 5, the great-great-great-grandson of the space villain who was Superman's foulest foe.
Now he says, great-great-great-great-grandson. Count that. Think about it.
That's actually Brainiac 7 is what he should be. For all of his super genius, Brainiac 5 is not very good at counting. Okay, it doesn't matter, but
we just thought that was awesome.
There's a cool story here. He's saying that it was my ancestor who stole cities from various worlds and shrank them inside of bottles, because he's a dick.
Yeah.
Among his prey was the Kryptonian city of Kandor. And then you see Brainiac 1 in this, like, flashback panel with a white monkey. named Coco, saying, he's like admiring this bottled city and going, hey, a fine prize, eh, Coco? And the monkey's got an evil face as well.
I mean, he sits around talking to his monkey.
This monkey comes up later in Brainiac 5, dumb, but we'll be like 50 by the time we get to that issue. And Brainiac says that he knows that Supergirl is Superman's great emergency weapon. And I understand your loathing for the fiend who was my ancestor, but please, please, don't hate me. And
this will be a common theme for Brainiac 5 for a little bit, is he is, like, super scared that everyone will hate him for his ancestor. So he is, like, the saddest, most apologetic boy you've ever seen.
You know, his ancestor did kill, like, trillions of people, so
that's true.
Maybe he has a reason.
You know how he could solve that problem? Change his name.
To Joe 5?
To be Joe 5, no one would ever know.
That's true. Good point. But Supergirl's thinking in her head, is he only pretending remorse? Because she's already racist.
She's already crazy.
She's so racist. Brainiac keeps going. He talks for like, he actually has like the biggest word bubbles in this issue. He says, I too despise his crimes. For many centuries, my ancestors have sought to atone for his evil deeds. We are glad he died while battling Superman. And she's like, what? He died battling Superman?
I like, this is my favorite part. They have no regard for messing up the time stream whatsoever back
then. Later on, they realize that this causes paradoxes and for, like, time to fucking collapse. But right now, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they're like, whatever.
These kids live on the edge.
Yeah.
Even genius pants.
Though I like that they don't actually tell you what his superpower is here.
Yeah, they don't.
You know, they're tiny placards that all explain their super fatting and super radiant.
Super fatting?
That's what it should say. But Brainiac 5 doesn't say anything.
So he goes on to explain to Supergirl how Brainiac 1 was killed by Superman, even though this hasn't happened in her time yet.
Because I wonder if it even happens like this. If anyone knows, I'm curious now.
It doesn't matter because, you know.
I know it's like, you know, been restarted or re-whatever the hell a million times, but I wonder if this ever happened.
All right.
I can ask if anyone knows if this happened.
Brainiac tells how he died. He says, Brainiac 5 tells how Brainiac 1 died.
There you go.
The end of my villainous great, he says it again, wrongly, began when Brainiac prepared to sneak attack Earth on a little cute spaceship.
Yeah, spaceship's adorable.
He says, ha ha ha, live and learn, eh, Coco? I was a fool merely to steal cities. From now on, I'll steal worlds. The hyperforces in my ray will reduce the Earth to miniature size and transport it inside this bottle, eh? What's that on the telescopic screen? And then he sees Superman, like, leaving him, like, a message with, like, carving into a meteorite, this message
with his heat vision. Eye laser.
If you attack Earth, you'll be destroyed, is what this message says. And Brainiac's like, fuck you, man. I don't care. Are you
threatening me? Whatever, I'm Brainiac. That's what he means.
He's like, bitch, I'll do whatever I want. So Brainiac tries to shrink it, and what happened is that his ship shrunk.
I just realized what the hell this meant.
Yeah, so what happened, there's this giant ray that came out of nowhere and shrunk him. Supergirl's like, what? That happened? And she thinks that Brainiac 5's lying to her. Before he even finishes his story, she thinks he's lying to her. And Brainiac 5's like, no, let me finish, bitch. He doesn't say that, but he should. And Superman actually saw, with his x-ray vision, Brainiac's monkey, the force field shield, its controls are literally, like, just a panel that say on and off.
And they're, like, right there, by the way.
And they're right within monkey, like,
yeah,
reach.
Yeah, they're, like, monkey height.
Monkey height.
They're actually perfect monkey height.
Perfect monkey height for a monkey elbow. Oh, just lean on this little button and switch the force switch the force field from on to off.
So what happened was, so Superman turned the flying saucer right when it shot the ray to shrink Earth. So it missed Earth. Then he grabbed the saucer and threw it into the way of the ray that it had just shot.
Yes, which doesn't make any sort of scientific sense.
So because the monkey leaned on the shield and turned it off,
it didn't have any, like, protection.
It shrunk into oblivion.
So Superman totally killed not only Brainiac,
but a tiny monkey.
A tiny, adorable monkey.
Actually, that monkey's horrifying looking.
Tiny, horrifying looking monkey that had never done anything wrong to Superman.
So, anyway. So she thinks he's lying. Supergirl's like, whatever, liar.
Yeah.
But then they cut away from this story because Brainiac 5 has been talking for like an hour. And they're like, dude, they don't say this, but they're thinking it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, fine, we're in the middle of like something here. Do you mind? Can you tell your weird stories later?
So then Bouncing Boy explains that he can blow up into a giant fat...
A giant fat ball that I hate.
Giant fat ball and bounce around, and then there's Sun Boy who he gets really bright. He gives off light.
He's more impressive later, but yes. In this all he does is shine. Yeah.
So that's who Supergirl's up against.
And without having to read it, I'm just going to take a guess. We've got Fat Lad, Shiny Boy, and Supergirl.
They have also, in this, they explain that they've decided to let in a girl and a boy each year.
Oh, so is she not even competing against any girl?
She's competing against Shrinking Violet.
Oh, my bad. Oh, she beats Shrinking Violet?
That's sad.
That is sad. I think Shrinking Violet should have won.
Anyway, so what Supergirl does...
Oh, you know what I just realized? They don't even go into Shrinking Violet's powers here.
Yeah, they don't. That's probably weird. Why you forgot about her.
That is why.
Maybe she shrunk out of existence.
She's shy, okay?
If you remember, in order to get into the club, you have to perform a super feat. You have to do something really super awesome. So, in keeping with tradition, Supergirl digs a fucking tunnel. Because that worked out so great last
that
time.
That always works. I think that something about being born on Krypton programs you to, like, auto-dig.
Yeah.
Because that is always
the
answer.
Like, we came from, like, monkeys? Maybe they came from, like, moles.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Okay.
Okay.
And she finds ancient treasures, ancient archaeological treasures, like King Arthur's sword, Achilles' helmet, and King Richard the Lionheart's shield. Now, I'm a classical civ major, and this is not how archaeology happens.
No?
Not at all.
Are you sure?
But, you know, despite her being retarded... You can see, like, in these panels, like, everything she does, Brainiac's like, this is awesome. What she's doing, whatever it is, it's awesome.
It's terrific, he says.
She says, whatever she's planning, I know it'll be terrific. So you can already tell Brainiac 5 has a crush on Supergirl. And if you can't tell, then you're retarded, and don't worry. The writers have taken you into consideration,
yes,
retarded
you
audience.
Will understand eventually.
As she hands off these archaeological finds to the three founders, Brainiac 5 comes running up with a belt, and he's like, let me put this on you. Now, I would normally, like, punch a dude that's trying to get me to wear a belt.
Yeah, just suddenly, belt on you now.
Yeah.
But and she puts it on. She puts it on.
And there is a giant green kryptonite meteor coming down at them.
Like, directly at her.
Yeah. Nobody saw this coming. It's the biggest meteorite you've... I'm going to put, like, a picture up of this meteorite because it's the biggest meteorite I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That nobody noticed for some reason. So, he puts this little belt on her, and she's like, huh, that kryptonite's not affecting me at all. Like, even though it's a giant, like, I'm talking like a house. I'm not talking like, oh, it's like a football. I'm talking like it's the biggest kryptonite ball you've ever seen. And she's like, I get it. The belt has a force field on it, and it's protecting me from the kryptonite's radiation. She just fucking pounds the shit out of the kryptonite. And then, Brainiac 5, you saved my life loaning me your force field. It's not force field. They're saying force shield, and it's destroying my mind. You saved my life by loaning me your force shield belt, but you could have lost your own life. Why did you do it? She's saying that he could have lost his life by the giant green rock landing on him.
Yeah, the death ball falling at them.
And Brainiac 5 again reiterates that I'm no villain, although my ancestor was. And then he finishes that off with, I'd gladly sacrifice my life to save yours anytime. That's not creepy at all.
Yeah, I just want to point out, okay, where the hell did that giant ball of kryptonite come from? Because Green Egg just happened to have seen it with enough time to give her the belt. I mean, I guess there's a small chance that somehow this has just been hurtling through space since...
Just happened to come right when
right
she
then,
was there.
And he was there with his belt.
What's your theory on how it got there, Kristen?
Well, I think Brainiac 5 is just playing dumb in all these pages. Just remember, this is a 12th level intelligence. That they haven't mentioned that, but
yeah,
someday they'll reiterate on that. Because right now, we just don't even know what the hell his power is, right? did that at least come out?
I don't know.
I don't think they mentioned at all. He's just like this green boy sitting there. And I guess you're supposed to assume he's smart, because they're talking about Brainiac. But they don't actually tell you that he's, like, a super, super
yeah,
genius.
Yeah, he really doesn't mention his power.
Yeah, and his placard doesn't say, how are we to know? Yeah, so I think he rigged this shit to get a girlfriend.
So, what happens is that, well, guess which two Legionnaires get to join the team? Brainiac 5 and Supergirl are the ones that are chosen. Since, I guess, what's his super feat? Giving her
risking his life by giving her the belt. Because he could have been crushed by Deathrock, but instead he gave her the belt.
So, apparently courageousness is enough to get you in.
And he was so sad about his ancestor.
Yeah. He was probably going to kill himself if they didn't let him in. Supergirl says, oh, you want your belt back? And she says, no, keep it always. I quickly adjusted the controls to your vibrational rate, so it'll only work for you.
By the way, that means he was studying her vibrational rate.
Yeah, but this feat makes her think that he's sweet. The next panel is, like, the weirdest panel because I don't know what's going on. It's supposed to be a parade from, like, above, but I can't understand what I'm seeing. I'm going to post it, and if any of you guys can, like, kind of...
I think it's like a stadium, right?
Yeah, but the perspective makes no sense. There's, like, a fucking bird flying around there, and then another bird down here, and then there's people that you can see in this, like, circle in the green thing.
This is full of people, and these are...
Yeah, well, anyway. The more you think about it, the more it hurts your brain. So, they're in a parade that makes no sense. It's not very big right
now. Yeah,
yeah. It's not very much a Legion.
They were calling themselves a Legion for a while, but they were actually just, like, a handful of people. Oh, by the way, I want to point this out. Okay, so the next panel, we see a close-up of the confusing panel.
Yeah.
And you see them on a little Legion Superheroes green rocket with a little tiny replica of their nonsense headquarters that is half of a rocket ship. And Saturn Girl's on a weird robot bird...
Like a Ski-Doo.
Robot bird horse thing... And Cosmic Boy and a Lightning Ladder also on Robot Bird
or space,
horse things.
Space horse unicorns.
Yeah, and a Triple Kick Girl is flying up front and Phantom Girl is flying up front. Didn't they say they only allowed one person in each year?
Yeah.
How long has it been since Supergirl was there last?
This is a big point of contention among all five people that have read these issues.
All five people who have read and retained any information about these.
Try not to think about it too much.
Okay, well, anyway.
Anyways.
They're having a happy parade and welcoming their two new Legion members.
It doesn't really mean anything that she got into the Legion of Superheroes, though, because she has to go home.
Yeah.
So, this is super sad for Brainiac 5. He says, please remain and be my girl. And Supergirl says, no, she has to go home because she has to be Superman's emergency weapon. You know, this story started out as about being her meeting
some Supergirl friends.
It seems to me that she has found a super boyfriend instead.
Oh, except he has no superpower.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah, he's not very super. It doesn't matter what he does because he's adorable.
Mm-hmm. Very sad.
So she's thinking about Brainiac 5, and she says, he's as nice as his ancestor was menacing. How astonishing that the great-great-great-great-grandson of Superman's worst enemy should like me.
And we see them going back through the post-it time note stream. I'm sorry, I like these post-it notes. I like time post-it notes. I wish that when we really do travel through time, that there are giant post-it notes
maybe
telling us
are.
Exactly.
I assume Brainiac 5 put them there because he's anal. So, you'll find that out later.
Sweet.
Yeah, actually right now, Brainiac 5 is indeed, like, a really sweet boy. Later on, that changes.
Yes.
He realizes that being friends with people that are almost retarded is exceptionally painful.
Yes.
So, and he gets snarkier and snarkier.
And more amazing.
Or maybe he's just behaving because... fucking Hottie was there.
Yeah. As soon as she leaves, he's probably smacking everyone upside the head or something.
He's also trying to, like, just get into the Legion.
He's just faking nice to get into the Legion.
Yes. He also favors blondes with a lot of ass.
Indeed.
Yes. You'll find that out later, much later. So, she gets back to her own time, and she realizes, hey, I've still got this belt. Actually, since this belt makes me immune to kryptonite, I'm mightier than Superman. Fuck yeah. Because she's being kind of thoughtful in this, she wants to test it out and make sure that it still works in this time period. She doesn't know what time travel does to her shit.
Or anything. Which is why she jumps through time so often. With no regard for anything except this belt.
I'm trying to make her sound at least a little bit intelligent. So, she's like, oh, I totally have that other friend that does telepathy, that mermaid friend of mine, Lori. I'll go ask her to help me out with it. So, she's like, hey, Lori. And she can, like, contact this mermaid by just thinking really hard.
Yeah.
Lori is down at this, they're in an art gallery in Atlantis, which is underneath the water. And the people who live in Atlantis are mer people, mermaids?
Mermaid, merman?
I don't, there's this really queer-looking merman. I'm sorry. This is the gayest man I've ever seen. And
is he hating on his little tail?
Oh, my God.
I think it's the thing that doesn't help is he's, like, floating in a very...
Weird position.
And he only has a shirt on. So, mind you, the rest of his body is, in fact, a tail. A merman tail.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a very clear line down the middle, like thighs.
Yeah.
So he just kind of looks like he's vaguely naked.
And he's also sitting weirdly, like,
yeah.
In this sort of kneeling
you
position.
You don't know how a fish man needs to sit. To
I
be
do.
Comfortable.
Listen.
You do.
I do. I've researched.
Well,
mermen.
I don't think you have.
I have a degree in mermenology.
I think that's a lie. So you see the little telepath Lori Mer girl, and you also see a little merman who's also like a telepathic guest because he's thinking right back at her.
They're sitting in an art gallery, and this art gallery has a giant picture of Supergirl in it.
They love Supergirl.
It's
right?
bigger than any other picture.
Yeah, it's
in
like
this art
it's
gallery.
Literally four times the size of the nearest picture to it.
It's like double the size of a person.
Yeah.
So it's pretty creepy.
Oh, but the guy is Jero, her admirer.
Her admirer.
Mer. Oh, I hate you.
Admirer.
I'll kill you.
So they're trying to test it out, and she's like, "Oh, fuck! It still works. This is awesome."
Oh yeah, there was some kryptonite in this case at the bottom of the sea. Or something. That's why she contacted mermaid people to help.
Yeah, you pretend this makes sense.
Yeah, no, the mermaid people knew where some kryptonite was for some reason, and she needed their help to show her where it was.
She's like, awesome, this is awesome, I'm so powerful, and then she takes this kryptonite out into space. I don't know if she tells them before she goes.
She tells them, she's like, I'm permanently going to get rid of this.
Oh, I can't tell because she's talking with her mind, so it sounds like everyone's doing thought bubbles.
Oh, no, I think she's telling them this.
Okay,
she's
I get
saying,
it.
She's saying, see Lori and Jero, or how the
Jero?
Hell is that? Jero. She just showed up to ask these fish people for a favor, and the little boy loves her, okay? Keep
oh, yeah,
mind.
Yeah.
The little boy loves her.
Yeah, good point.
He's really cute, too, other than his freakish fish tail. And he's like, must you leave so quickly, Supergirl? I've missed you. Please return again soon. I think of you often. She didn't leave. She didn't even reply to that.
Yeah.
She's got stuff to do. Or maybe she's just creeped out by that fish tail. Like that.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of relationship you could have with. How are you going to do anything
with that? No, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't mention it. Don't make them think about it. Nobody think about it. Continue.
All right. That'll be bleeped out in the actual version. I don't bleep out swear words, but I'll bleep out.
Just the concept of bleep out every time we say right here. Just add a really awkward, like, cow noise over it or something.
So she takes it into space, and who does she see? Out in space, but fucking Crypto, the super dog.
God, I hate that dog.
So, Crypto's, like, freaked out. He thinks that it's imitation. This makes no sense!
Okay, so, no, this makes sense.
God damn!
I can follow the dog's logic here, okay? They are all people from Krypton. Kryptonite hurts them all. He sees Supergirl holding some kryptonite. He assumes it is fake kryptonite because she would not be able to hold it. Him and his small dog mind want to happily go say hello. So he runs over, and then is immediately sad and whining and running away because it's horrible kryptonite. Which I just think is great.
She's a dog abuser. So she takes this kryptonite and she buries it in an asteroid that's luckily made out of lead for some reason. And she flies over a mine that is being blasted, is what it says.
Yeah.
And then a rock fragment from this explosion hits her belt and breaks her belt. She's like, fucking shit. She doesn't say that, but I would.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my belt's now useless.
Well, I like it because the rock fragment pierced her force shield and shattered against my invulnerable body. Passes through the time barrier, radically shortened the life of the force shield. It's now useless. So I guess that means...
It only worked up until that very second where
yeah.
she passed it over the mine that was being blasted.
Yeah. Because I would even say, like, oh, maybe it was weakened. But it was keeping her totally safe from the kryptonite.
Let's not think about this very hard. I think the reason that it broke was because they didn't want her to be more powerful than Superman. That's it.
I just think that she's thoughtless with other people's gifts.
That too. Whatever, he can make her another one. She's got, like, a fucking boyfriend that wants to give her things and make her science things. Who cares? So she's with her little orphan friends again. Not her real friends. Because her real friends are super friends. They're like, haven't you got a boyfriend, Linda? These girls are bitches, apparently.
Yeah, they just want to tease her.
She says, I guess not. And then the other bitch says, too bad. Every girl should have one. Even if she has to settle for a drip like Clarence. Like, we don't know this
she
Clarence
says,
guy.
She says, ugh, Clarence. I'm sorry, yeah. You're not conveying the bitchiness of this girl probably.
She's got a bitchy face, too.
She's like, settle for a drip like, ugh, Clarence.
Oh my
god. She's even, like, doing a bitchy hand gesture.
Yeah, super bitchy.
I don't know
face.
Where this orphan got this sense of entitlement and bitchy attitude.
Orphans don't deserve love, Kristen?
I don't think so.
It's full full of hate this issue. You hate monkeys.
I can't help but Fatty's in this. I hate him so much.
You hate fat people. You hate orphans.
I do.
Okay.
I only love Britney Five.
So then she's thinking, I couldn't tell them that I have two boyfriends. One is a merman youth at the bottom of the ocean. The other, the great-great-great-grandson of the greatest space dilemma of all time. They'd have thought I was either crazy or lying. The end. My God.
She's got, like, the greatest, like, knowing smirk on her face.
She's a cute face in that panel.
This, to me, this should have ended with, awesome, I have some girlfriends.
Yeah, this started out as a thing about girlfriends and having nobody to talk to or share,
and
like.
And so she's like, I'm a hussy. She didn't even, like, talk to them again.
Yeah.
Like, they met her and got her to come to the future and then didn't talk to them again.
Yeah, so she's like, wait, there's a hot green boy here.
Yeah, so I think the point of this is that Supergirl will always prefer some men's over
she's probably, like,
any friends.
Got a messed up psychology because her cousin
gives her that weird complex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that awesome issue.
The next one that will be time is... Who is that?
That's Mon-El.
Oh, Mon-El.
Next issue has Mon-El in it.
We love Mon-El.
He's adorable. Not as cute as a green
boy.
Five.
No one can be that cute, I'm sorry. But he's pretty cute.
Yeah. The next one is a two-part novel called Superboy's Big Brother. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at superfuturefriends@gmail.com.
That didn't ask me because I forgot again.
That's cool. Or you can comment on the blog, which is superfuturefriends.blogspot.com, because if you're listening to this on iTunes, there's a blog coordinated to this thing that has pictures and things.
Pictures are awesome.
Pictures are pretty fucking cool. So if you want more interaction with us for some reason...
I don't know why, but if you wanted to.
Until next time, this is Kristen and Adriana saying bye.
You said Kristen first, like you're Kristen.
I'm Kristen.
You're not Kristen. You're confusing. Our voices sound similar already.
The one who sounds like a thug is Kristen. The one who sounds like a melodious angel is Adriana.
The end.
Except we actually sound exactly.
Bye.
Bye.